we're still standing here, I have the privilege today of sharing God's word with you all today. I want to thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for my salvation. Thank the Lord for this opportunity I have to share with you today. And I thank the Lord for my wife, for my family. And I thank the Lord for this church. How many love this church? Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4 from verse 1. Luke chapter 4. This is what it says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says this: Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Skip down to verse 14. It says this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Let's say a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, God, that you are here today. And Lord God, just as everyone praised you then, Lord, we praise you now. All these years later, Lord, we believe you are alive. And you are at work in us. You are still changing us. You're still doing great things in our world. You're still doing great things in us. And today, oh God, we want to turn this service over to you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would have your way this whole time. Lord God, speak how you want to speak, Lord God. Stir up, Lord God, what you want to stir up, oh God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and have your way among us. We turn this service over to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everyone said, before you see, put your hands together for the Lord right now. Thank you, team. Is that the best you could do? Come on, put your hands together. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Our senior pastor, Pastor Paul, he's not here today. Right now, he's in Italy. He's backing up a great evangelist called Nikki Cruz, who was one of the first gang members saved way back in the 60s. He's in Italy right now doing a massive crusade, reaching out to people all over the city of Naples, or Napoli as they call it. And our senior pastor, Pastor Paul, he's there right now as part of that crusade. It's a heavy area. There's drugs, there's crime, there's a heavy mafia presence. But I believe that right now there's a heavy presence of the Lord there. And no matter who's in control, how many know that no one is bigger than God? And Jesus, he's at work over there. That's what Pastor Paul is. He'll be back this week. Amen. I'd like to speak with you today about being filled with the Spirit. We read here in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it said this: Jesus, full of the Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Just before this scripture in chapter 3, you see Jesus being baptized. And if you didn't know, that's the reason we have this pool here today, because you've got a few people today that are going to be baptized. They're making their public declaration of faith today. The old is gone, the new has come. They're coming to lay down the old man and the old woman in that water, come back up brand new. That's what's happening today. Jesus, in the previous chapter, he did the same thing. He was baptized, even though he never sinned, even though he himself never had any sin. He didn't have an old man to die, but he did it as an example for us, as a model for us to fulfill all righteousness. If he was baptized, then we also should be baptized. Amen. And then after that, when he rose up from those glistening waters of the Jordan River, the Bible says that he was filled. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Turn to someone and say, what are you carrying? It's always a powerful image whenever we think of someone being full of anything. When someone's full of something, it's a very powerful image. Use your imagination right now and imagine someone, say someone who's full of ideas. Maybe you know someone like that. Someone who is absolutely full of ideas. They always come up with some solution. They always got some new thing going on, some new connection they've made. Well, we could do this. Well, we could do that. Well, we could do this. Well, we could do that. Makes you think of someone like Albert Einstein, or maybe even Steve Jobs, the man that founded Apple Macs and all of that. Someone that is full to the brim of ideas and fresh perspectives. It's a powerful image. What about someone who's full of rage? Ever met anyone like that? Someone who's full of rage. I quite like watching UFC and MMA fighting myself. I forgive me if you don't like that, but I love it. Often you'll see them right there, you know, on the way in, staring right down into each other's eyes, getting into the octagon, grounding and pounding. Someone that's full of this energy, full of this passion inside of them, full of it. It's a very powerful image when someone is full. It's not so powerful if someone's half full. Imagine being half full of passion. Or I'm half full of ideas. Or I'm a little bit full of rage. Doesn't quite work. But when someone's full of something, it's a powerful image. And Luke, in this scripture, says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. When we say that someone's full of anything, it's a metaphor. We're comparing that person to some kind of vessel. A vessel. Something that carries something. If you look up the word vessel in a dictionary, you'll find different things. You might find, you know, a container or a receptacle. Or you might find also a ship or a boat, a vessel, as in a yacht or a cruise liner. A vessel, like a ferry. Anyone ever been on a ferry before? Like, you know, going from Dover to Calais. Or from Harwich to the Hook of Holland. Maybe you got a ferry from Liverpool to Dublin. You know, a ferry. A ferry is a kind of vessel. And something that a vessel does, a vessel carries things. How many are following me so far? You're thinking, where is he going? You'll find out where I'm going. A vessel carries things. What does a vessel carry? What does a ferry carry? One of the main things a ferry has to carry is an engine. How else would a ferry get from A to B? How else would a ferry make it across the English Channel or the Irish Sea without an engine? A ferry has to have an engine. So a ferry always carries that. There's always an engine in that vessel. It doesn't ever get rid of that engine. It doesn't go somewhere and drop off the engine, because then it wouldn't be able to get back to where it came from. A ferry always carries an engine. But there's something else that a ferry does. It doesn't just carry an engine or furniture or whatever else. A ferry also delivers something. Delivers something. If you or I are on a ferry, we are passengers on that ferry. And when that ferry leaves the port, goes across the water, and arrives at its destination, the last thing you and I are going to do is stay on the ferry. That makes no sense whatsoever. Imagine going to Dover, from Dover to Calais, getting off in France, smelling the sweet smell of croissants and pain au chocolat, and deciding, you know what? I don't actually want to get off this ferry. I quite like this ferry. I'm going to stay on this ferry. I was playing Space Invaders in the arcades, and I quite enjoyed it. So I'm not going to get off the ferry. I'm going to stay here. That makes no sense. A ferry delivers on arrival. When a ferry has reached its destination, it delivers. It might deliver cargo. When me and my wife and our little boy, when we moved from London to San Diego back in 2009, we had quite a bit of cargo, because my wife wanted to carry everything, didn't you, sweetheart? She wanted to carry plates. What if they don't have plates? She said. It's like, Josephine, it's America. They have plates. They have bigger plates than we do. We even got a bicycle in the suitcase, man. We got Dylan's bicycle. He's got to have the bicycle when he arrives. So it's something familiar. But you know what? You're right, man. You're right. She always gets it right. I get it wrong. We put the bicycle in the suitcase. We took it over there. And he felt great because he had his bicycle there in this foreign country. But we had all this cargo to take over. What were we to do but put it on a ship? And on arrival, the ship delivered. See, a vessel, a ferry, a ship, a boat, it carries, but it also delivers. Tell someone to say, what are you carrying? In the scripture that we just read, we talked about Jesus. First of all, in verse 1, it says Jesus was full of the Spirit. That means that Jesus was carrying. He was carrying the Holy Spirit. And Luke didn't say, you know, he had a little bit of Holy Spirit in his left foot. He said he was full of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, oh, he had the Holy Spirit right up to around his chest section. He said he was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was carrying the Holy Spirit within him. But then not only that, it says that the Holy Spirit led him into a time of testing. He got baptized, he came up, and he went into a time of testing. And then when he came out of that time of testing, Luke says he wasn't just full of the Holy Spirit. It says that he returned. He came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like there was some kind of difference, that there was a new dynamic that Jesus had as he came back from that time of testing. And dynamic is the right word to use, because in the Greek, when it says that he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit, that word power in the Greek is dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamism or dynamite or dynamic from. It says that Jesus was full of the Spirit, went into a time of testing, carrying, and then came out with a new dynamic, a fresh dynamic. You see, Jesus went carrying, but he came back ready to deliver. There comes a point where we're not just to carry, but we are to deliver. Just like the ferry that would go and carry the engine, and the engine would never come off the ferry. But then, once it has arrived at its destination, it has to deliver what it's got. We got to be a people who deliver what we've got. You see, some people just want to be carriers. Some just want to be carriers. I just want to be a carrier. I just want to know that I'm saved. I just want to know that I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I just want to know that my name's in the book of life. I just want to know that everything's cool and that I'm all right and I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. And you know what? That's cool. That's good. If you want to be saved, all you have to do is put your faith in Jesus to save you. All you have to do is put your trust in Jesus to save you, and he will save you. But some of us, are not content to just be carriers. Some of us know that whatever it is we're carrying, we want to deliver what we're carrying. Some of us are like, you know what? I don't want to just be a Christian. I don't want to just come to church. I don't want to just be a religious person. I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to just have a name tag saying saved on it. I don't just want a bumper sticker on my car. I don't just want to hold a big Bible. I don't just want to look the part. I don't just want to have a big t-shirt on. But I want to do something with my life. I want my life to accomplish that for which God gave me life. I want to finish this life knowing that wherever it was God gave me, I delivered it throughout my life. If you just want to be saved, then just put your faith in Jesus and he will save you. But if you want to be used by God, if you want God to use your life, then you need to deliver I'm talking about being people of action. People of action. Because, you know, throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, whenever you see that phrase, filled with the Spirit, it's always followed by some kind of action. Whether it be Elizabeth, who, when she was filled with the Spirit, then began to prophesy over Mary. Or maybe Zechariah, when he was filled with the Spirit, he began to feel this unction. He began to prophesy over his son. How many of us dads prophesy over our sons and daughters? He began to prophesy over his son. What about in the upper room when the 120 disciples were gathered together praying and believing for the promise that Jesus gave them to come to pass? They're there praying, and then the Bible says there was the sound of wind that filled the room. There was a shaking, and the Spirit was poured out on every man and woman who was praying in that room. It says they were filled with the Spirit and they began to speak in other languages. What about the deacons later on in the book of Acts, where they were filled with the Spirit and then God called them to serve? You see, it never says they were filled with the Spirit and then sat down and had a nice cup of tea. It never says they were filled with the Spirit and then watched Coronation Street. It always says they were filled with the Spirit and they did something. Because when you're really filled with the Spirit, you can't keep it down. When you're filled with the Spirit, you can't stay quiet. How many know what I'm talking about? When you're filled with the Spirit, you can't live the same way you used to live. When you're filled with the Spirit, something begins to change inside of you. When you're filled with the Spirit, it becomes like a fire that is shut up in your bones. When you're filled with the Spirit, you can't just be religious. When you're filled with the Spirit, you can't just go through the motions, because there is a dynamic, there is a power, there is something inside of you that is moving you to do everything that God's called you to do. From one day to the next, it's like you've transformed. It's like you've changed. There's a light that comes in your eyes. There's a joy that comes in your face. There's a peace that comes in your soul. And you begin to speak, and God begins to use your life. I remember when a friend of mine in America, he was one way, and he was struggling until the day he got a breakthrough. He was filled with the Spirit. And then he called me up one day and said, "Pastor Anthony, I don't know what happened to me, but I just got so excited about Jesus. I had to tell all my friends. I had to let them all know. I'm not going to smoke no more. I'm not taking drugs no more. I'm not going to be out selling drugs no more. I'm not going to live that life no more. I want to change my life. And what Jesus has done for me, he can do for you." Wow. I was like, that's good, man. That's what happens when you are filled with the Spirit. You see, the reason for that is this. The Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit's not just a force. The Holy Spirit is not like, you know, the force in Star Wars, the Jedi, the force that's strong with this one. It's not just some impersonal force that moves through you like an aura. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's alive. And like any other person in the room, the Holy Spirit has desires. Like any other person in the room, the Holy Spirit has emotion. Like any other person in the room, any one of us, the Holy Spirit has likes and dislikes. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got another person inside you. That might sound a little bit trippy for some people. Like, I don't really want another person inside of me. I've got enough. I've got four of them already. You want the Holy Spirit in you. You want, I'm telling you, you want the Holy Spirit in you. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, He begins to fill you with His desires. You see, maybe before you wanted to drink, and you wanted to drink, and you wanted to drink. You didn't just want to drink a nice little glass of wine with your meal. No, you wanted to get totally blotto. You wanted to go on a bender. You wanted to lose it all over the weekend. But when the Holy Spirit filled your life, your desire began to change. I don't want that anymore. I don't want to lose my dignity like that anymore. I don't want to be out crazy on the street anymore. I don't want to puke up anymore. I want to live different now. You begin to sense a new desire building inside of you. You begin to want things that are good, things that are from God. You don't want to listen to the same stuff. You don't want to walk the same way. You don't want to live the same life. You put a cigarette in your hand and don't feel good anymore because something has changed inside of you. Your desires have changed. It's not because someone told you, thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and you must this, and you must that. No, no, no. It's within you, an inner conviction. When the Holy Spirit has filled you, your desires begin to change. You want to worship. You want to lift your hands. You want to pray. You want to cry out. You want to cry. You want to pour it out to God because something happens inside of you. You might be some quiet, timid, little church mouse, but when the Holy Spirit has filled your life, the desire fills you and burns inside of you, and you can't stay silent. You gotta speak. You gotta tell somebody. I don't forget when I went home from church one day as a little boy, and there's my big brother, the one that always used to beat me up and kick my teeth out, and I went to him and I said, Mark. He's like, what? It's like, suddenly all the fear came. But the desire was deeper. I looked at him. I said, you know what, Mark? I just want you to know, man, that Jesus loves you. I just want you to know He loves you, Mark. He loves you, man. And without Him, you ain't got nothing. He's looking at me like, what? Ready to, you know? You ain't got nothing without Him, Mark. But with Jesus, you got everything. Mark, give your life to Jesus. He couldn't believe what he was looking at. This little guy suddenly got some guts. That's what will happen when the Holy Spirit begins to fill your life. He gives you His desires. That's what I mean when I say we've got to deliver what we're carrying. I don't think I know anything sadder than someone who bears the name but doesn't live up to the name. Someone who bears the name of Christ and doesn't live the Christian life. Someone who opens up their heart and says, fill me, but then doesn't deliver what it is they're carrying. I've known people who were carrying something, but they never delivered what they were carrying. I've known men and women who were anointed. You could feel the anointing on their life. That means that there was this kind of power on them. There was something on them. You knew that God was going to use them in a big way. But yet they never ever did it, what God had anointed them to do. I've met people who had grace on their lives. They had this favor on their lives. They would speak and people would listen. They would go to places and doors would open for them. I know people that have favor on their lives. That it's not good luck. It's the favor of God that's on their lives. But yet they never did. did the things that God had given them to do. They never used the favor they had. They never used the influence they had. I've met people when I was younger. We used to talk together about all that we wanted to do for God, about the great things we wanted to do in Jesus' name, the places we wanted to go, the things we wanted to build for Jesus' name. And then years later, to see them, and they're nowhere near doing any of it. They've lost their fire. They've lost their strength. They've lost their hope. And I'm like, man, but we were carrying, man. We were carrying. Why didn't you deliver? Because I believe that every one of us here is carrying something. Every one of us here is carrying something. Some of you here don't know the Lord. Some of you here don't know Jesus. You're not carrying the Holy Spirit right now. You're carrying other things. You're carrying other dreams. You're carrying other emotions. You know, some people believe that we're just here by accident. Some people believe that we just turned up on this planet, that we're just the result of some long process, and here we are. No real sense of direction for life. No real sense of purpose for life. Just trying to be happy. Just the pursuit of happiness. Just trying to make it from day to day. Just trying to save a bit of money and go on a holiday sometime and just do that stuff and then hopefully leave something behind when you die. But I believe, we believe, and the Bible teaches that our lives are for more than that. That God created us with a purpose. The Bible says that you were woven together in your mother's womb. You were woven together in a secret place where no one else could see you. The Bible says there is a call and a purpose for your life to do more than just make it through, to do more than just survive, to do more than hopefully save some money, to do more than have a nice holiday every now and then. But there is a purpose, there is a potential, there is an image of God, there is something inside of you that God has placed inside of you. And we believe it's only until you open up your heart and allow Jesus to take control and allow his desires to become your desires, suddenly all your dreams begin to come true in him. His dreams come true in you. But up until now, maybe you're not full of that. You're full of other things, other cares, other worries, other dreams. I want to let you know, my friend, my brother, my sister, God has a dream for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. He gave you talents and giftings for a reason, and God wants to bring those things to fulfillment. Some of us here, we are Christians. We've opened up our hearts and said, you know what? I give my life to you, Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, we believe the Holy Spirit right there and then comes into your life. We believe that just in that moment of faith, in that moment of stepping out, in that moment of saying, Jesus, here I am, please forgive me, wash my sins away, make me new. We believe that as you put your faith in Jesus, in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And in that very moment, your desires begin to change. But some here, maybe you feel that you've resisted some of those desires. Some of those new desires that you feel inside of you. Maybe sometimes you feel like, man, I don't know if I want to go through with some of those desires. Because God can get you doing some crazy stuff sometimes. Since I came into Victory Outreach, I've traveled in so many places. With me and my little keyboard, ding, ding, ding. I've been all over the world, man. I remember the craziest place was finding myself in India, playing my keyboard with a bunch of people in India. Some of them had one leg, some of them had one arm. It was crazy. I thought, how did I get here? Because when you give your life to Jesus and you begin to allow his desires to become your desires, he totally changes your life, changes what you're about. How many are with me today? You know, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He'd come to that place where he said, you know what? I want to be full. And not just full of myself. I want to be full. And not just full of doubt. And not full of depression. And not full of fear. Jesus didn't want to be full of all that stuff. And the Bible says he was full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit led him into a time of testing. You know, maybe some here that are going to be baptized today. We're excited for you, man. We're really excited about what's about to happen in your life, about the guts and the courage you're showing to be public and say, you know what, I want to live for Jesus now. We're excited about that. You know what happened to Jesus when he got up from that baptism pool? The Bible says he was led into a time of testing. Now, I don't know. I don't know what might happen, but all I know is this. When Jesus went into a time of testing, it wasn't there to destroy him. When Jesus went into that time of testing, it wasn't there to tear him down. When Jesus went into that time of testing, it was to intensify the dynamic of the Holy Spirit in his life. See, God never allows us to go into a test to destroy us. God always wants to build us, always wants to build us. And my brother and my sister, as you step out and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, there is a dynamic that's going to come in your life even through the testing. I can say of myself that I am not a man that has always got it right in my life. I've been through a few tests, and some tests I've passed. Some tests I passed like a boss. Some tests I completely failed. Where would I be today if I stayed in the failed position? Where would I be today if I lay down and gave up? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a boxing match? Someone gets knocked out, gets the count, and actually says, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to lie here. I don't want to get up. I should get up. I don't want to get hit again. I'll just lie here. Someone bring me a pillow, a duvet. Put some nice music on. I'm going to stay right here. I quite like this canvas. It's kind of comfy. I am so blessed by the men and the women who, when they were knocked down, got back up. I'm so blessed by the men and the women who, when they failed the test, didn't stay in the failure position. Sometimes, man, it can be hard to get back up. Sometimes it can be tough when you've been knocked down to get back up. Everything inside of you says, you know what? I don't think I can. I don't know if I can go another round. I don't know if I can face that enemy again. I don't know if I can get a victory. I don't know if I can get back up. But how many know that in Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? And I believe that even here today, there are men and there are women who have been knocked down. There are men and there are women who have made mistakes. But you're here today because the grace of God didn't let you stay down. The grace of God strengthened you to pick you back up so that you who maybe failed can rise and overcome again. And if you're here today and you've made a failure, if you're here today and you've made a mistake, if you're here today and you feel like the enemy punched you out, I want to let you know that the fight is not over. We have not reached the end of the round just yet. Jesus is victorious, and his love for you is strong enough to pick you up and put you back on your feet. You ain't thrown your best punch yet, my brother. You ain't thrown your best punch yet, my sister. That enemy has nothing on you, because he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. Don't stay down, but get back up. Be full of the Holy Spirit. I prophesy a new dynamic in your life. Maybe you've been trapped and held and bound for years, but I prophesy into your life, if you put your faith in the power of God to pick you up, there will be a new dynamic of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And you who failed will succeed, and you who fell will get up. And you who are beaten will win in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
in Jesus' name. I speak a new beginning in your life in Jesus' name. I speak a fresh beginning in your life in Jesus' name. I speak a fresh page in your life in Jesus' name. You are a new man. You are a new woman. The old is gone and you're brand new, baby. You're brand new. If any man or woman is in Christ, you are new. You are new. Someone here today that God brought you to Victory Outreach Manchester in this service for a reason. Because you feel stuck. You feel stuck. You feel knocked down. You feel knocked out. You don't feel full of the Spirit. You feel empty. But I believe I can feel the power of God in this place. I can feel the anointing of God in this place. It's a new day for you. Come here to the keyboard, brother. It's a new day for you. It's a brand new day for you. It's a brand new day. There's someone here who's had a struggle to forgive, struggle to forgive, struggle to forgive. But it's going to be a breakthrough, right? I feel that power. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. A power to see you released. Released from unforgiveness. There's some of you here that you feel bound by things in the past. You feel trapped and held and tied down by things in your past. You might even have begun to believe you couldn't move forward because the past was greater than your future. That is a lie. Your future is greater than your past. What is ahead of you is greater than what is behind you. And the visions, the dreams, the desires that God has placed in your heart are still valid. They can still happen. Your future's bright. I want us to stand in this place today. As the team comes out. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you know how, I just want you to lift your hands, begin to worship. If you know how, if you're a Christian in this place, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to begin to lift your hands, begin to worship. If you don't know how to do that, don't worry, man. Just think. Just think. Just feel. Feel. Just feel. Just feel. God's speaking to you. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. At this time, we're going to do what's called an altar call. If you're here to be baptized today, this is your chance to go and to get changed, ready for the baptism. Feel free right now to go and get changed if you're going to get baptized. But we're going to just do something here called an altar call. What that is, it's nothing crazy. It's just that we at the front, we here, we just want to pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you feel like, man, I do feel empty. Maybe you're a Christian here and you feel empty. You feel dry. You feel like, man, I'm meant to be full of the Spirit. What's happened? Where are you, Lord? You know, I want to pray with you. Because I believe there's something fresh in store for you, even here today at the altar. Maybe you're here today and you have made a mistake. You might even feel like you're held prisoner by the mistakes you've made. Wrong turns. Sins. And you may feel like, man, can I ever move forward? Can I ever get up? Can I ever punch again? I want you to come to the front because I want to pray with you. Because I believe there's a fresh wind of God's Spirit here today for you. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never done it. And even right here, and even before you came, you've been feeling a dissatisfaction in your life. You know you're not living to your full potential. You know you're not doing everything you're on earth to do. And you may even be aware that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for you. The giftings that He's given you, God has a plan for you. And I want to pray with you today too. I want to see you get a breakthrough. We want to see you get a breakthrough and begin to start a whole new page today. If that's you, be bold right now and step out.